Well, it's Christmas Day. It's the day we remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many, probably millions, around this world doing so this day. But they are celebrating Christmas. What are they actually doing and considering the Lord Jesus Christ and the reason that he came into this world? That to them probably doesn't mean anything at all. Why was he born? And it's a question that we have to ask. And most people don't understand the Lord Jesus Christ. Their eyes haven't been opened. They haven't seen him. And they don't see him for whom he is. Now, I trust that most of us here this morning have seen Jesus. And we do see him as our Saviour and our Lord. And I trust that we're excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can remember when my daughter first became pregnant, quite a number of people used to say to me, "Oh, I expect you're excited about the coming one." And I had to be honest, I didn't probably say this to everybody, but excitement wasn't the word that I used. But when she was born and when I saw her, I couldn't contain my excitement. And this is it. We need our eyes open. We need to actually behold someone, don't we? We need to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be excited about him. Now, there's not many of you children here this morning, but I wonder what Christmas Day means to you. How excited do you get about Christmas Day? Could you sleep last night? Were you waiting expectantly to open your presents this morning? Maybe even some of you older ones were doing similarly. But we can get excited about lots of things, can't we? But the question is, do we get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ? What does he mean to us? We read at the beginning from Isaiah where he's described as wonderful. And I trust that just this morning, we'll just think about that. And God will reveal something of the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Those of us who are excited about him and those of us who aren't excited about him, that God will show us something this morning. When we think about some of our heroes, I know some people here are very sports-minded and there may be people that they hold up quite high in terms of the sporting world, and they think that, they and what they have achieved and what they do is actually truly wonderful. But I wonder, if you start really looking at that person's life, you will see things that aren't good and aren't nice and aren't lovely. And they're not as wonderful as you once maybe thought that they were. But let me tell you, when you look and examine the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes more and more wonderful. He is truly wonderful. And just a few things very quickly about the wonder of him and his birth. Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the infinite God. He's the one who is everywhere. He's omnipresent. The whole of not only this galaxy, but all the galaxies, he is there. Wherever we are, God is there. Yet that God, who is infinite, was brought down from, I can't stretch my arms wide enough, can I, to indicate infinite being. But he was actually brought down to just a very small seed and planted in Mary. God was brought down in the person of his Son to be born of Mary. He who breathed life into all things had to take his first breath as a baby when he was born. He who spoke worlds into being became speechless. And when he first was born, in his first weeks and months of life, his only communication could be through crying. And he who is the Word, the everlasting Word, he had to learn to speak. That's just the wonder, isn't it, of Christ being born, of coming down and becoming human flesh. He's the one who holds the earth, the planets, the stars. He holds them in his hand. Yet he was reliant on being held in the hands of Mary and of Joseph. And we read about him in all things in him consist. They're upheld by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he became dependent on Mary and on Joseph. And one of the hymns says, "Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man." It is incomprehensible, isn't it, that the Almighty God should come down and should be initially, you know, planted as a seed and grow as a baby and be born and have to learn things. Yet now, the one who had to learn to speak actually speaks loudly and clearly to us. And he is the one that we are to listen to. He was begotten of his Father from before all worlds. He's the being of the same substance with his Father, begotten, not made, co-equal, co-eternal in every attribute. His very God, a very God. By him all things were made that are made, and without him was not anything made that was made. This one took flesh and came and dwelt among us. And one of the hymnists says, "See, he lies there in the manger, who once made the earth and sky. Down from heaven he's come a stranger, newly born, yet born to die. Hands almighty now lie helpless, round his mother's finger curled. Lips so gracious, now yet speechless, soon will speak to all the world." And another hymnist says, "Give me a sight, O Saviour, of your wondrous love to me, of the love that brought you down to earth to die on Calvary." He came with a purpose, didn't he? That's why he was born. He was promised long. For hundreds of years, we are told about the coming of the Messiah, of the promised one. We're told many things about his life, about his birth, about his death. And he comes. And this was all part of God's great plan of salvation, his wondrous plan of salvation, that God the Son should become man. And he came with that purpose of saving a people for himself. And I just want to pick out a few words in the reading that we had from Colossians, just to think about that very purpose of saving a people for himself and for eternity. We read in there, there are six words, and we're just going to go through these very quickly, about being qualified, delivered, translated, redeemed, forgiven, and reconciled. So qualified. Now I'm sure we can all think about, you know, qualification. We've had, as this country, we've had a fantastic sporting year, haven't we? And if you wanted to take part in the Olympics, you would have had to have qualified for that. You'd have had to have met a standard, a very high standard, and only a few people could actually meet that standard in their particular event so that they could take part in the Olympics. But you know, God requires a standard of each one who he will have to run the race, in other words, to live the Christian life. And his standard is much, much higher than any standard for entering into the Olympics. It's so high that no human being can ever attain it. Yet the wonder is, again, that God himself qualifies us. He enables us, not through anything of ourselves, but purely of his own goodness, to actually be qualified, to be forgiven, to be saved, to be made children of God. The Father, God the Father, qualifies us to be partakers, and it's only through his grace and his grace alone. So we're qualified if we're believers. We're delivered. And what are we delivered from? Well, we're told we're delivered from the powers of darkness. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we're delivered if we know Christ as our Saviour, from being under the devil's authority, and not just being merely helpless captives, but even being sort of willing slaves as well. We're delivered from this. But it's not just simply a being delivered, a being released, and then just being sort of set out to fend for ourselves. No, it's more than that. It's not just, as it were, like a physical resettlement, but it's a spiritual work that is done within us. And again, it's done by God's grace. And God not only delivers us, but then he brings us into his kingdom, into the kingdom of his own dear Son. And that's the next word. We're translated. We're delivered and then we're translated, because we're now benefactors. And we're benefactors of all that being in Christ means to us, of knowing him as our Saviour. And that's why, you know, when I prayed about every day counting our blessings, all that God provides for us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not just today and tomorrow, but it's for all eternity. We will share in the inheritance with the saints in light. All that is for the believer is wonderful and fantastic, marvellous. And we have much to thank God for now, but we have much to thank him for in the coming days. And we will be able to thank him if we are Christ's. We'll be able to thank him for eternity. We're translated so that we know our Saviour. We know him as our Saviour. We know him as our Lord. We know him as our friend. We've been translated, or if you like, also we've been transferred. We've been changed. We've been put into a new position. We've been moved by God, and it's only by God. And we, the next word is redeemed. And this has all been made possible because a payment has been made. And it could be no other way. A ransom had to be paid. And it was a massive ransom. Now, you can't even think about it in terms of money. But if all the oligarchs and the billionaires and the governments and the gold reserves were put together, it still wouldn't be sufficient to pay the ransom, to release sinners, to buy them back to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only means was by somebody laying down their life who wasn't a sinner. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're redeemed, and it is through the death, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in whom are we redeemed? We're told here, it's in Christ. It's all of God in Christ. And we're also forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. And not only forgiven, but they are forgotten. And again, in whom? In the Lord Jesus Christ. And just lastly, we're reconciled. We've been brought into a wonderful relationship with God. And he's made peace with us and enabled us to make peace with him. And again, it's through his Son. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why he came. This is why he was born. This is why he came down to earth. So that we, if we know him, can live eternally as his very people. But also, there may be those of you here this day who don't know Christ. Well, maybe it is this Christmas that Christ is going to reveal himself to you as the one who can deliver you, redeem you, save you. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, just thinking of some of the hymns, just two verses from two different hymns. O wonder of all wonders, that through your death for me, my open sins, my secret sins, can all forgiven be. It is a wonder. Christ's a wonder, isn't he? He's wonderful. But why he came is a wonder. But what he achieved is absolutely, truly wonderful. That we can be saved, that our sins can be forgiven, that we can be right with God, and we can enjoy God for eternity. And then another hymnist says, well might the angels sing in wonder as they herald forth his birth. Even they can scarcely ponder why God's Son came down to earth. See him now enthroned in glory, earth awaiting his return. While our hearts recount his story, may these hearts within us burn. Those two upon the Emmaus road, when they met with Christ and they knew it was Christ, their hearts within them burned. May we, not from food this day, but may we have heartburn as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ and as we spend time with him. Is he not a wonder? Is he not wonderful? Yes, he truly is, isn't he?